I thought it was just that your belt was supposed to match your shoes. I never know what's supposed to match anything.
Scotty J matches everything.
All right. So his watch face matches his what?
His t-shirt, which also matches his shoes.
Now, is that the way you're supposed to dress?
No.
Are you... That's fantastic.
Unless it's black.
All right, let's...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Even I noticed that now. Scotty J, hello, sir. How are you?
Oh, for crying out loud.
Orange is a good color on Scotty J, at least.
When's the last time you shaved?
Yesterday.
Okay, just checking. So it's kind of an all-around... Well,
it's an every other day thing.
So Sarah... wait, you did wash your hair yesterday. But, oh, by the way, here's the new Sarah.
This morning.
This is during the break.
Okay, we don't need to do that.
What?
Oh, yes, we do.
No, this...
Well, since Scotty J looks like a giant carrot, let's do it.
No, I'm just saying, this is... We're keeping a running track of great quotes from Sarah. The most recent quote from Sarah is during the break. Quote, I'm so bloated and full of carrots right now.
I'm bloated because of the carrots. I forgot I can't eat them.
Is that... Now, have you always known that? Well, yeah, because...
No, remember after we had the cleansing? That's when I realized that I can't properly digest carrots.
That's right, because there was a whole lot of, like
Scotty J.
Like hey, the shaving...
It looked like this shirt, actually.
Shaving every other day can help with the, you know, the razor burn and the breakouts.
Okay. Hello, random comment, 5,000.
Okay, you know, where is your Hard Rock Cafe shirt from? Puerto Vallarta? Did you get that at the Hard Rock Cafe in Puerto Vallarta?
My wife did.
Okay. All right. So you are wearing, by God.
Did she go to Senor Frog's and dance topless?
What the hell kind of question is that?
I'm just saying, usually things happen in Puerto Vallarta when the wives go out to play.
Did your wife dance topless? You can get away with asking that. I can't.
Why don't you ask her?
Am I supposed to be afraid of her?
You'll have to ask her.
All right.
I don't know. I didn't ask her that.
Your shoelaces are orange, by the way. All right. Fantastic. I wanted you here in the room, by the way, because I mentioned this in the hallway, and you just perked up like nobody's business. So I have this now. I was talking to Tim about this morning. September 25th is what this press release stated. That's today or yesterday. September 25th, 2006. House of Blues Concerts is proud to announce the following concert event. Now, see, here's the thing, and this—I don't know what this will even mean. This might be one of those things that we say to Sarah. This might be a Don Rickles thing, because were you familiar with Don Rickles before we talked about it?
No, I mean, I knew him from Casino, but I didn't know what a legend he was.
See, so you may not be familiar with the genius that is Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. It is their farewell performance. Tim actually thought Harvey Korman was already dead. Friday, November. This is the comment this morning. It's exactly what happened with Don Rickles, too. We've got the Rickles thing. He's still alive? Which is exactly what happened. The funny thing is that you didn't doubt that Tim Conway was alive. It was only Harvey Korman, about whose death you speculated. Their farewell performance, Friday, November 17th, 7:30 p.m. at the Schnitzer Concert Hall. I'm going to read you now. This is the little description. For a decade, they shared a soundstage on the Carol Burnett Show. Now, and then it's in huge all caps. Tim Conway and Harvey Korman, which is actually pretty great. And the people of my generation know Tim Conway and Harvey Korman not only from the Carol Burnett Show, but they know Harvey Korman from Blazing Saddles, where he played it's Hedley, sir, Hedley Lamarr.
And Tim Conway was on McHale's Navy.
That's entirely true. And, by the way, Tim Conway and Harvey Korman did a movie in 1986 called The Long Shot, which is a movie about it with Ted Wass. And Jonathan Winters, who remembers Ted Wass? That's a guy. Do you ever see like an old record or something from the 70s and it's like for fan club information, send a letter to, and you're kind of tempted to because you just want to know if anybody's going to answer back. It's like when you see old phone numbers in movies and you almost want to dial them just to see who picks up the phone. I think about a guy like Ted Wass who was in, he was in A Long Shot and he was in Oh God, You Devil with George Burns. And then he was in, God, he was in, like, The Son of the Pink Panther or some hideous film. You got to wonder if anybody's staffing that guy's fan club these days. Anyway, they did a movie called The Long Shot, which is notable for being the very first appearance of any recorded music by rapper Ice-T, in which he was rapping about a horse. Anyway, they're sharing stages all over the country during their box office smash tour, Tim Conway and Harvey Korman together again. to witness Conway and Corman performing again recalls the pure, unadulterated, madcap entertainment of the variety show era. So apparently they're going to be here. Tickets are, let's see, tickets are available at all Ticketmaster outlets or houseofblues.com, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so Tim Conway and Harvey Korman, which is pretty great. They're coming here Friday, November 17th, 7:30 p.m. at the Schnitzer Concert Hall. We are going to be giving away tickets. We're going to be giving, I think we have tickets to give away this week, and then we're going to be doing in radio what they call a 5-4-3-2-1, which is we'll give away fifth row and then fourth row and then all the way down to first row. And I think we may be doing some like some meet and greet stuff, and they're going to be here, and we will be interviewing them. And here's the thing: is it's going to go right on the wall next to my Rickles photo, Tim Conway and Harvey, and then that's it. Then there's nobody left. Everybody from that era, we've got them all. They're all done then. So
the first thing I was going to say is you have to talk to these guys.
Oh,
absolutely.
No, I'm all over that, man.
All right.
I mean, just the presence of Harvey Korman in Blazing Saddles alone absolutely necessitates that we have to talk to them. So there you go. Harvey Korman, Korman and Tim Conway at the Schnitzer Hall. So we have tickets for that.
That's a pretty classy joint.
I'm actually kind of, I'm sort of impressed that they're playing.
They have chairs with cushions and whatnot.
It's genius. So there you go, kids. That's coming up. Well, let's do a little bit of this unfounded gossip and baseless speculation here that I've got in this pile. We'll break a little early because we've got Lisa Goddard coming up. We've got some more stuff from the new Weird Al Yankovic album, which comes out today. It's called Straight Out of Limwood. We've got that later on. Dennis Pitzenberger is going to be here. Oh, and I was telling Sarah about this during the break. So you remember there was all of that discussion about that superhero stuff spot that turned out to be the reference to Pink Floyd.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like a wall thing. So I've got the copy for the new superhero stuff spot. And this is
it just as weird?
Here's the thing about this spot. And again, this is not a produced commercial. This is just the copy for the new superhero stuff .com spot, which I mean, both of those spots currently running are really weird. There's the one that we talked about last week, which is the Pink Floyd one, and then there's the other one where it's like a superhero and a supervillain battling it out, and it's like, I see that you also have the Batman thing. You know that other one we remember?
No, I just remember am I thinking of Game Geeks? Yeah. I'm thinking of the other ones where they're running back down like, dude, I have a friend who's even more into gamers than she is.
Where are my keys?
Who sounds like an old Top 40 disc jockey?
I'm pretty sure that's Fat Boy actually from KUFO. Not to mix sponsorship. Well,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, no.
Sound like an old Top 40 disc.
Of course not. There's nothing at all.
We're all old Top 40 disc.
Not to get the sponsor sort of confused, not to muddy the waters here, but the very best line of that Game Geek spot, though, and I every time it plays, I giggle at it, is when they're instant, it's two guys instant messaging back and forth about some hot girl, and she's got a friend, you know, who there's nothing she likes more than a guy who's into D&D or whatever it is, and Fat Boy just says, great, where are my keys? And it's just his delivery. I don't know what it is, man. It's just something about the way he says that line. Anyway, but so superherostuff.com, I have here in my hand, direct from the AE, the copy for the new superhero stuff.com spot. And here's the thing. I honestly don't know whether this is terrible or not. It's either brilliant or it's awful. And I will simply tell you this.
It's brilliant.
It's written like a script, because you can tell that this guy at Superhero Stuff who writes, he's a client who writes all the copy himself, and you can tell that he takes a great deal of pride in these commercials. You can tell that he invests a lot of himself in them. So it's written not just like, because normal commercial copy is just written without any directions. There's no stage notations, or, you know, they don't have any notes about how it's supposed to be performed. Normal commercial copy is just, it's just one big block of text. It's just one big, you know, paragraph on the page, and you pick it up, and you just read it straight off the page. This one is actually written like a script, and it notes where sound effects are supposed to go. It has what they call Wileys, which are indications on how dialogue is supposed to be spoken, like whispered excitedly. And then it actually, it tells you what accent to use at certain points, and you may be saying to yourself, why would a superhero stuff.com spot need an accent?
Well, Bulgarian.
No, No, it gets better. Oh. I will read you, and then because it is written like a film script, and I think this is just a 30. I think it's just a 30-second ad. Because it's written like a film script, it's got a little paragraph here that is not part of the copy. You're not supposed to read it. It's just there to tell the performers, you know, what's happening, just to set the tone. Here's what it says. I swear to God, this is the copy direct from the client, direct from the guy who wrote it. Marco and Estefan, two gay Puerto Rican lovers, are walking on the sidewalk and come upon the superherostuff.com sidewalk sign. We hear sidewalk noises, sounds of walking. We hear a Fred Meyer shopping cart beeper off in the distance. There you go. That sets the whole stage right there.
We hear sidewalk noises?
You hear sidewalk noises, and I swear to God, a Fred Meyer shopping cart beeper off in the distance. As Marco and Estefan, two gay Puerto Rican lovers, are walking outside of superherostuff.com. So I...
How would the Fred Meyer car get all the way up there? I mean, it's the nearest Fred Meyer is like 2 miles away.
Especially because isn't Superhero Stuff on 23rd?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. And it seems like anybody who might be pushing a Fred Meyer cart would have been hustled out of that neighborhood pretty quickly by the authorities.
I would think so.
So, in any event, I'm going to set this aside. Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be in later on. And so Dennis Pitzenbarger and I will... We will endeavor to create this commercial live on the air for you later. And at that point, we will deduce whether or
can
not
the Paris Hilton shopping cart be used instead of the Fred Meyer. Would anybody notice the difference?
I'll set this over here. When Dennis gets in, Dennis can be Marco and I can be a Stefan, and we can create the ad for you. And you can deduce for yourself whether it's good or terrible. I'm going to read. Should we do gossip or should I do worst obituary ever? And then we get a break.
That is a tough choice, isn't it?
Sarah?
Who should make that decision?
I kind of like to hear the gossip it's big in the rumor mill right now. The story you're going to do. Whoa. Hey, Chug-a-lug.
I'm sorry. I had to consume my coffee while you were talking. One moment. Okay. All right. So this is in no particular order. And I don't have the story that you were referencing about Lindsay Lohan and her boyfriend.
Oh, this is better.
All I've got is this. I've just got Lindsay Lohan stuff. This is from, I think this is from Perez Hilton. Lindsay Lohan stylist deals crystal meth. Gossip speculated stylist Rachel Zoe, that's a fake name, is the subject of a steamy crystal meth. Like anything about crystal meth is steamy. Like it's such a sexy drug. A steamy crystal meth blind item appearing in the UK's Daily Mail. A blind item means that it's not credited to anybody. A blind item is one of those sources reveal or our man on the inside says. In the new interview with the Daily Mail, model-turned-designer and boutique owner Paige Adams-Geller has gossip scratching their heads. I kept wondering why I'd see an actress one week and she'd look normal, and the next week she'd look gaunt. I found out it's all down to crystal meth, which is the latest must-have accessory in Los Angeles. Which doesn't make any sense at all, because if you're like a Lindsay Lohan type, it seems like you could just afford cocaine. I can't imagine... As I understand it, crystal meth is just for people who can't afford anything better. I suppose that sounds like a really snobby statement.
It's for people who shop at Costco.
It's the Winco of drugs. I think isn't crystal meth is for the little people, isn't it? I mean, crystal meth is it's the people's drug. It's now suddenly in demand. Rachel Zoe, age 33, is an in-demand stylist who styles Lindsay Lohan, Misha Barton, and Nicole Richie. Ah, well, there you go. What's the connection
and
there?
Misha Barton's looking pretty haggard lately.
You can see her. You can see her spine from the front and her ribs from the back. Misha Barton. I mean, literally, like if you photographed her, and if you didn't know who she was, and I showed you her picture, you'd think she was dead. You'd think it was a picture of a corpse. Lindsay Lohan, Misha Barton. I haven't even seen Misha Barton recently. I think they're keeping her out of the public eye. And Nicole Richie. All three starlets are so thin, they've sparked anorexia rumors. Here's the thing about that, Christopher. Now, I'm not saying it's true. I don't know that it's true. I don't have any insight or knowledge about this. All I'm saying is... The thing about the crystal meth is it would not only explain Lindsay Lohan's very, very thin and gaunt appearance, it would explain the fact that she seems to be aging at a metric rate. Because, I mean, I have no idea. She's not even 21. Isn't that what you said?
Mm-hmm. She's 20.
I had no idea. I mean, she looks like she's in her late 20s already. Just a lot of really bad, drawn, tired sort of skin on her face. It's all very unpleasant. So that would explain a whole lot. Let's see. We've got this. Nicole Richie wants the world to know she's happy with her new beau, one-time reality star Brody Jenner. I have no idea who Brody Jenner is. Brody Jenner.
He's a friend of Channing Tucker.
Totally. Nicole Richie was celebrating at Teen Vogue's Young Hollywood party at the Sunset Towers Hotel with friends who included Misha Barton. Once her ex, the new girlfriend showed up, Nicole Richie stretched her star muscle. When Lauren Hastings showed up, Nicole had security mysteriously cleared the air. So Nicole Richie is having girls kicked out of the party. Laura Hastings, a 22-year-old model, had been observed shadowing her boyfriend during the MTV Video Music Awards. Her MySpace interests include flossing and smoking cigarettes. These sound like fantastically interesting people. I'll do two more real quickly, and then we got a break, so we got to come back with Lisa Goddard. We had this earlier this week that Tom Cruise had supposedly been kicked off the Mission Impossible franchise in replace with Brad Pitt, which Brad Pitt now denies. And here's the thing. You know that this is true, but that Brad Pitt is forced to deny it so he doesn't look like he was kicking his friend out of the movie role. That's how this always works. The rumors are always true. The rumors are almost never false. So clearly what's happened is that Tom Cruise has been kicked out of the movie. But Brad Pitt doesn't want to look like he was shoving the guy to the sideline, so he's had to deny reports that he's got the role, which they will then inevitably announce that he has. A representative for Brad Pitt has refuted reports that the star will replace Tom Cruise in the Mission Impossible franchise. The actor's spokesperson told the New York Daily News the rumors were totally made up. Claims that Pitt was offered $52 million? Are you kidding me? $52 million for a one-movie deal would have made him the highest-paid actor with $40 million in a paycheck. An industry insider told Britain's London Light newspaper Mission Impossible 4 will not include Tom's character at all. They're set on Brad taking over, etc. Paramount is said to be hunting for a new Ethan Hunt after its decision to sever ties with Tom Cruise. So that's exactly what that is. So clearly what's going to happen is that he's going to have to deny it, and then inevitably admit that it's true. That's how the gossip cycle always works with these rumors. Well, Sprike will come back with Lisa Goddard, Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour, Dennis Pitzenberger coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, and like us at 306. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. Stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live in Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Dennis Pitzenbarger for the Portland Tribune is going to be here. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. And I believe, right there, I believe we'll get to a top 5. First one along, we're updating the Encyclopedia Emersonia, which is kind of our online fact last week. And somebody had asked, this wasn't a phone call, but somebody had emailed in and I asked whatever happened to the top five. And it's just, it's one of those things, the top five is like that guest in the green room on like Leno that always gets bumped at the end of the night. You know what I mean? Because they've always got to give Christopher Walken more than one segment. So I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try to lock it down and give it a hard time from now on, so that it doesn't get repeatedly knocked out. So we're going to try to get to that this hour, ladies and gentlemen. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show live from the Hill, CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hello. How are you?
I am dandy. How are things in Washington D.C.?
Not fine and dandy.
Sometimes I'm fine. Sometimes I'm dandy. Very rarely am I both fine and dandy, but on those days, you will be the first to know about it.
Really?
Yes. Well, I mean, there's sort of a narrowing of the emotional spectrum. And when you are fine and dandy, those are the days that really set you apart. So
I just can't believe I'm going to be the first to know.
Cool. I mean, if not you, then who? I mean, really? I mean, that's, you know, I'm just saying, you are a news person. These are the things that you ought to be kept apprised of. You know what I mean?
Well, Well, I definitely feel that way.
Well, I mean, look.
I'm glad I didn't have to bring it up.
You gave us the Israeli rap CD. Really, it's the least we could do for you, Lisa.
It starts in Portland.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. This is where the news comes from. I mean, I know that in Washington, D.C., you have, your little happenings, and I know Gary Baumgarten's got his small little information beat there in New York.
Overrated. Washington and New York, overrated. Not that they're not great cities. D.C.'s my hometown. I love it. But in the news world, we get too many pieces of the pie.
You know, you're just a poor man's us, Lisa. you got a whole bunch of crap going on this week. And when I say crap, I mean just stuff that, it is one of those weeks where there's so much stuff that you could just fill a week with each of these items individually, because I'm just looking at it right here. NSA wiretaps, border security, port security, homeland security budget, defense budget. I mean, is this sort of like the kid who puts off the term paper until the night before it's due, and then suddenly he starts to start cracking the books?
That's exactly what it is. And this it's like your final exam for all of high school is coming up. These guys all know that with the November midterm elections. And to boot, I know everyone in Portland will want to know, we've had the most substantial Iraq protest, which isn't saying a great deal, that I've seen in Washington in a little while. We had 71 arrests today of protesters.
How many people were actually there protesting?
There were probably, there were definitely over 100, but 71 arrests is not something that happens very often at the Capitol.
And is this because of the crazy guy with the gun and the demons and the crack?
No, that's a whole other story that we can talk about, and that story is developing along its own bizarre path.
No, wait, you can't do this to us. What do you mean that's... No.
I know, we have all these... Well, I'll finish with the protesters. There were 71 people arrested. It was your typical Vietnam era, honestly, flowers, guitars, balloon hats, pirate hats. But they were anti-Iraq war protesters.
Do you suppose that it undercuts perhaps the seriousness of the protest when there's a guy wearing a Dr. Seuss hat and strumming a guitar?
I don't think it helped them so much. But they were doing that. They got I think the coverage that they wanted from that. But so with the man who ran into the building, Carlos Green, last week, he's the suspect in that case. Today, the Capitol Police met with a House Committee on Appropriations. Now, they haven't gotten their budget request yet this year. And the House committee members in a closed meeting looked at this video of what happened.
Right.
The chief of police said, oh, the guy rammed a police car, ran in, and we took him down. Well, turns out he ran around the police car because the police car wasn't actually closing a gap in the fence. You could actually drive in, basically, the Capitol, and also that it wasn't police officers, but actual just civilian employees of the flag office.
Just some guy that happened to be there selling corn dogs, or, you know.
Yeah, it was a five-year-old child.
Yeah,
oh, no,
right.
It was just civilian employees. So that's where that story's going. Now there'll be an independent investigation. You know how that goes.
My tax dollars at work.
Yes, I don't know where to begin with the rest of the week. There's so much going on.
I guess my observation will be this, and again, I don't pretend to be some sort of authority on how the United States government operates, but it does seem to me that and I'm reading here right off the sheet where it says Congress has until the weekend to pass major legislation on, and then again, things like border security, port security. It would seem to me like maybe the best way to have some sort of comprehensive security for this country is not to put everything off until the final 48 hours. You know what I mean? It doesn't really seem like this is necessarily the way to give the subject the attention it really deserves. Does anybody...
Yeah.
Dumb question. What have they been doing all of this time that this stuff ends up being shoved up until the end of the week?
It is a great question. They have been doing a lot of talking, a lot of running around. A lot of them have been campaigning for most of this year. So now it comes down to brass tacks here. And the fact of the matter is they can put some of these things off, like the appropriations bills. They can pass a continuing resolution just to keep funding going. When they come back after the elections, they'll have what's called, I can't think of the word, I'm embarrassed. They'll have a session, a lame duck session, where a lot of them are going to be out of office, but they can still get things done. But these major bills, you just don't want to do that during a lame duck session. So they're trying to work out this detainee legislation. We understand there's a deal on that now, another deal, although Arlen Specter, a Republican, still has problems because these Guantanamo detainees won't have due process rights under it. And that's a difficulty here, too. They're jamming all this into this session. And so how are the American people supposed to get their hands around this? You know, if it would take, honestly, even in a half hour, I think maybe we could cover all of this. But who has that much time? And why should people have to do that during 1 week? Why can't we say, all right, this week we're debating immigration. We're going to talk about it. We're going to hopefully get input. But no, they put it all in this week because, just like most of us, these guys, in fact, worse. These guys are probably the worst procrastinators around.
Well, speaking of the people and their access to information, we talked about the New York Times, which
right.
The New York Times had reported part of this study on Iraq that said that the Iraq War had made the world essentially a less safe place. And I know the White House's response. The White House's response. Anytime there's something released or said that is detrimental to the Republican cause, the response seems to be one of two things. It is either it was taken out of context, you know, you haven't seen the full information, you haven't seen all of the facts released, or that it was a statement made off the record or in jest or is otherwise not to be taken seriously. And so the White House's response to this New York Times article about the war in Iraq making us less safe is to say, well, that's only a small part of this entire report. And perhaps not coincidentally, we're not being allowed to see the whole report. But it does seem like even some Republicans are asking the administration why we're not allowed to see, you know, the government's own report on whether or not the Iraq War has made us safer. I mean, it seems like even Republicans are starting to defect a little on that.
No, that's true. Some of them are. But this is tricky stuff because we don't want to tip our hand too much. We don't want to tell the terrorists everything that we know and believe because then they'll think, oh, well, they don't know. They'll know where our weak areas are. So if anyone's ever seen Russia House with Sean Connery, it's a bit like that setup. The deal is that they want to get this out because clearly there are some indictments of the Iraq War here or some information that people in the Senate feel like in that House need to know. But, okay, so you can get your head around this. This is one intelligence estimate, which is brought by all of our intelligence agencies. So it's a very big deal. We expect it to be declassified any minute now. Now, at the same time, CNN has learned that Representative Jane Harman of California, she's saying there's a second intelligence estimate out there as well that is just on Iraq. And she's trying to get that to be released. Now, this is conflicting. Some sources are telling us, though, that that's just underway. It's not finished yet. But there's a lot about Iraq that obviously our government knows that we don't know. And some of it maybe we don't need to know, but some of it we probably do.
Well, I think there's a problem, as you said, is when you said earlier, but there's all of the stuff that Congress is doing in this final lead-up for the end of the session that we are awash in information. It is really the tyranny of too much information sometimes. And without proper context, there's just no way to know what's going on. I do have to ask you about this only because we heard someone else report this. Have you heard anything about sometime in the last day or two, George Bush, and I know this sounds ludicrous, but George Bush being at some event at which, I swear to God, this is what we heard, that he was at an event where, A, he engaged in karaoke, which seems ridiculous on the face of it, but who knows? I mean, really, this administration does never lose its capacity to surprise us. That he karaoke'd the song Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival. Can you think of any event that George W. Bush has been at in the last few days where that might have happened?
Wow, there's probably a number.
Because it just seems off.
Opportunities the president has for that.
It just seems off the charts insane that any of his handlers would have allowed him to do that. And so it's lurking out there like this tantalizing brass ring that we're trying to find audio or video of.
Right. I can keep bringing on that, but you know, he's been to a lot of fundraisers lately trying to help all these Republican senators especially keep their jobs. And that's what he did yesterday. So that's very possible. I have to say I hadn't heard that one yet, but it's really it's possible.
I'm telling you right now, if you can confirm that one way or the other, there's a bright, shiny bauble in it for you.
So isn't there a biography about Bush that's called Fortunate Son?
I believe there is. There's any number of reasons why that would be probably an unfortunate song for him to be witnessed singing anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's possible that he was singing somewhere. I definitely cannot confirm that in the least.
I'm just saying, there you go. Yet another exciting news lead from Portland, Oregon, which is where all good things...
It starts there.
Everything originates here, Lisa. All right. Well, we will check in with you as the week progresses. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, sister.
Sure.
All right. There you go. Lisa Goddard on the Hill in Washington, D.C. All right. There you go. It's 503-733-2977.
I'm going to turn my back. The flirting, I just can't.
There's no flirting.
Sure.
Not really. I just, you know what it is? Lisa just...
See, I'm sorry if I tune out, but I know that you do not care if I'm tuning out because you're getting to have your little happy banter.
No, I... You know, clearly she respects my intelligence and
my
acumen.
Just do it already.
You know, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that is there's nothing in that conversation. If you were to read a transcript of that conversation, there's nothing improper there.
Yes, just like that transcript of the superhero spot. Reading it, maybe not so bad. Reading it out loud,
Sarah and I, during the break, we're reading the superherostuff.com spot that has... What is it, Ektor?
It is so bad.
It really is.
What is wrong with these people?
You really do have to wonder if in any conceivable reality they thought that this spot was actually going to get produced.
Well, you know what? I would understand if they are gay and Puerto Rican, but
I don't know.
Are they?
I asked the AE, the saleswoman. I said, hey, because we talked so much.
They're
about...
They're operating under a lot of cliches. That's pretty bad.
Well, we talked so much about the Pink Floyd spot, the superherostuff.com spot that had aired before, and I said, well, you know, our audience is really fascinated by this spot and this commercial that we play. Can you know, who wrote this? And she said, oh, you know, the client wrote it. His name is, and I'm pretty sure it's Ronando. It's either Ronando or Rodando, which either makes him sound like a giant lizard that attacks Japan or a magician. So I'm unclear. Ronando is a, I mean, that's sort of a, that's a Latin sounding name, I suppose. I don't really know the answer to that.
Have you spoken with him on the telephone?
I have never spoken to Ronando. He's a man of mystery. He's a man who lurks only, he lives in the shadows, Sarah, and he lives in the mists. So, I'm unclear about
Ronando. You and Dennis are going to read this out loud, right?
Now you've got me. Now, I don't know. Now I'm second-guessing it. This is...
terrible.
It really is just such a surreal piece of copy. I mean, anything that starts with two really swishy Puerto Ricans outside a comic book store and just sort of takes off from there as its whole thrust... It's just a little outside. It's a little outside the conventional norm. Features one character referring to, I swear to God, one character commenting on a Batman lava lamp and saying, "Oh, Estefan, it would look so fabulous in the kitchenette."
We should get these guys on and see what their deal is.
I'm gonna set that over there in the B pile. We'll ponder that a little more. Should we bring in Tim or should we break? We should do some news.
Let's bring in Tim.
Should we not? All right, ladies and gentlemen, in mere moments, Tim Riley will be joining us here. Let's very quickly talk to our good friend Thomas. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
What's up, brother?
Well, I wanted to help you out with your knowledge of...
Let me ask you this. First of all, before we move forward, do you in any way believe that it sounded like flirting when I was talking with Lisa Goddard just now?
Just a tad bit.
All right, you don't know what you're talking about. All right, what do you got?
I wanted to help you out with the British... government system.
Okay. This sounds exciting.
Because you said you had absolutely no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Hold on. Let me settle in. Okay. Go.
All right. First of all, they vote for the people, their representatives are in the House of Commons, kind of like the representatives we have in Washington.
This would be a lot more interesting if you were a cartoon character and there was some sort of catchy song to go with it.
This is true, but what can you do? I mean, I'm 3,000 miles away trying to explain something to you.
All right.
Whatever party gets the most votes for that,
let's say Labor Party, yes.
Right. The leader of the Labor Party, like in the U.S., the leader of Democrats is
yes.
Howard Dean.
Okay.
He becomes the prime minister.
Okay.
And pretty much they're in there for a maximum of 5 years.
Okay.
If at any point in time they don't want to do it anymore, they dissolve Parliament and call for a new election.
Okay.
And the thing with the no confidence vote is if the party that gets the most votes doesn't have a majority and can't get something passed, then the other parties can gang up on them.
You know what's occurring to me is
vote them out.
You know what's occurring to me during this conversation? I don't live in Britain, so none of this really matters.
Oh, it matters because everybody else works this way.
Oh, it matters, Rick. It matters deeply.
This is the only country that doesn't work that way.
All right. By God, thank you. Where are you at again? You're in Michigan?
I'm in Detroit.
Detroit, all right, where life is cheap. All right, well,
Where life is cheap and you take your life in your hands every time you drive down the road.
God bless you, sir. Well, thank you for endeavoring to set me straight in our British brethren.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you. There you go, that's Bye. Thomas. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let us go to the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A Spokane man was kept headfirst in a hole for hours.
But really, you're in Spokane.
I saw that last night, his boots sticking out of the grass. But I couldn't stay awake to watch the thing.
The 70-year-old man pulled his safety after he spent 4 hours trapped in a water meter hole. The man was working on his sprinkler system and he fell in headfirst. Paramedics rushed to the man, but firefighters say he didn't lose consciousness. A mail carrier heard the man's screams and call 911 to get him out.
Seriously, though, again, it's like you're in Spokane. How much is it?
And head first.
Really, what is it? The difference between being in that town at all and just having your head stuck in the ground. I tell you, when we were at Dante's last night, we went there to see Clyde's thing, and then there's the karaoke panel and so forth. And the occasion is that a coworker friend of Lara's was moving to Spokane, and I asked the guy why. It was like a couple, and I said, hey, you're moving to Spokane, huh? And do you ever do that where you have a conversation with somebody and they're moving someplace hideous, and you're trying to be, and the contrary to what many people may believe, I do try to be a tactful person in public. It doesn't always work out, but that's because sometimes there's nothing tactful to say. You know, it's like, so you're moving to Spokane. Well, yeah, and all I was able to say is, so is that for work? And he said, no, just for a change. And I mean that, and it's just, and they're just leaving themselves wide open for. Why would you move? It's like setting your scrotum on fire because you want to change. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. So I tried my best not to launch into a whole litany of things about when Spokane, but it can be difficult sometimes. I'm sorry.
I thought that was what you were talking about.
I'm not talking about anything. She's gone, though. Doesn't matter, right?
She's coming back today.
Oh, well, there you go.
For a day before going back there.
We'll appreciate that. Melissa has a quick Tim Conway comment. Hello, Melissa.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Hey, Tim Conway's son has a show on the same station that Lycus is based out of in L.A.
KLSX.
Yeah,
is that Conway and Steckler? Is that?
I believe
Conway,
so, yes.
And Whitman.
Oh, it's Whitman. Not Steckler. Oh, did Steckler go away? Was Steckler moved on out?
I don't know, but Brian Whitman, it's hilarious.
No,
it's a really, really funny show.
You know, that's a comedic pedigree right there. You're Tim Conway's kid. You kind of got to be funnier. He'll
kill
you.
Yeah, no, if you have a chance to catch it on a podcast, I know you've got other things to do with your life, but...
No. You might think that, but really, it's just killing time between calls from Lisa Goddard. That's
all smoke and mirrors.
Yes.
It actually is really funny. And just
looking for Batman lava lamps.
Well, have a good day.
Thank you, Melissa.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Tim Conway and Harvey Korman, who are going to be here November 17th. By the way, we will be giving away tickets to that, including front row tickets, and we're going to have Tim Conway and Harvey Korman in the studio. See, Tim, and I only caught...
So are they just comedians, or are they actors?
They're comedic actors. They weren't comedians, I don't think, in the stand-up sense ever, but, I mean, they were best known for being cast members on The Carol Burnett Show. And The Carol Burnett Show is one of those things that I don't think it's in reruns anymore. I don't even think there's anywhere to watch it.
Although,
that.
They are releasing Mama's Family on DVD.
Mama's Family, really?
Today, I believe.
Well, you know,
so this could coincide with that.
Although, but correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't believe that Mama's Family has any relation.
It was one of the sketches that started on the Carol Burnett
Show. Are you sure about that? Really?
Yeah. It was one of the sketches that started there. Then it became its own show.
I know that Vicki Lawrence basically only got famous because she happened to look a lot like Carol Burnett. That was sort of the
and sang the song "Rainy Night in Georgia."
Was that Vicki Lawrence that sang that?
Uh-huh.
All right.
It was a one-hit wonder.
So. Yeah, because Vicki Lawrence had this sort of stunning resemblance to Carol Burnett, and so Mama's Family. Is there a show that just sums up trash, and not just the show itself, but also those who watched it? Really, if you go over to someone's home and they're watching an episode of Mama's Family, that tells you all you need to know about them as people. All you need to know about their. And I say that, by the way, as somebody whose house had Mama's Family on the television quite frequently growing up, and it'd be between hee-haw marathons. So Tim Conway and Harvey Korman, they probably were most famous because of The Carol Burnett Show. And then Harvey Korman was also in movies such as Blazing Saddles. He worked with Mel Brooks a lot. And he played Hedley Lamarr in Blazing Saddles. That's where all the guys who are my age probably know him the most from that. All right, let's do one more, and then we'll break.
All righty. Say, remember that fellow who allegedly hired the porn store janitor to kill his wife, only his wife strangled the porn store janitor?
Yes, I do.
Well, his bail has been doubled in this murder-for-hire plot. It is now $1 million bail for Michael Kuhnhausen. This, after his wife saw the assailant come after her with a claw hammer, she was able to wrestle him to the ground. The two struggled until she strangled the man to death. The porn store janitor, identified as Edward Dalton Hafey, he died of strangulation, according to medical examiner.
Has anybody heard from the woman involved in this? Has she done any public statement? Has she said anything?
No, but maybe she'll get some kind of key to the city of some sort. I'm sure there are a lot of fans in her neighborhood.
Well, she must be a substantial woman, because he was not a small man, I don't believe. And she pinned him down and strangled him with her bare hands. I mean, I want to see the woman who does that. All right.
Well, she needs someone to do her PR, apparently.
We should take a break here. We'll come back. Dennis Pittenberger is coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. Also, Likas coming up at 3. Donna Mike at 7. We have more Ministry of Truth coming up. Top 5, all of that. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.